From Psalm 92, we sing at times, it is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. It is good when night is falling of thy faithfulness to tell, while with sweet melodious praises songs of adoration swell. Oh, that is the psalm or song for the Sabbath day. And the inspired poet, inspired by the Holy Ghost, has written that superscription above Psalm 92 especially. And now how true is that psalm? And how true it is that not only the children of Israel sang that psalm every Sabbath day, but how worthy is that psalm also to be sung by us on every Sabbath day. It is a good custom in many homes to read this psalm in the morning of the Sabbath day. That is not a requirement, but it is a good custom. But congregation, now in singing or in reading that psalm, have we ever done so with a blessing for our soul, with a prophet that endured and remained in our hearts, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day? This evening, we are privileged to speak about God's commandment for the Sabbath day. And may the Holy Spirit then flow in. May the Holy Spirit flow out into many hearts, that indeed, that commandment about the Sabbath day may be unto us a blessing. We go to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, a question and answer 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The fourth commandment. Three thoughts regarding this fourth commandment. It is a holy command for the Sabbath day. We speak about holy labor for that Sabbath day, but also holy rest for that Sabbath day. So the fourth commandment, and regarding that Sabbath day, we wish to speak about the holy command, the holy labor, but also the holy rest. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? And congregation, then we consider that the first commandment speaks about serving God alone and no other gods. The second commandment speaks about how he wishes to be served, and that is not by way of images. Then in the third commandment we have learned, we hope in our heart, that his holy name should be reverenced and never be abused. And now in the fourth commandment, we still deal with serving God. And now it is that he desires us to come together on a certain day, that we then together with God's people may worship and adore him. But congregation, the apostle has confirmed that, because he says God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the congregations, all the churches of the saints. So that fourth commandment must regulate us, especially on the Sabbath day, but regulate us also on the other days of the week. And when the Catechism emphasizes that public worship of the Lord, we must not think that then the personal worship, that then that private worship, if we may call it that, is unimportant, or we must leave that to the side. No, the instructor also has something to say about that. But what do we now read in that fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So it is about the Sabbath day. And what does that word Sabbath mean? That means rest. That is already evident in Genesis 2. Because then the Lord speaks about the fact that there is a day in which he no longer created. That was that seventh day. And that seventh day is then the day that he rested, not as if the Lord was weary, because the Almighty can never be weary, no. But that was the day to be delighting himself especially. For behold, that creation was very good. But there are also other reasons, because in Exodus 16, we read also, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. And in Exodus 31, it speaks particularly about the Lord, that he rested on the seventh day, and he was refreshed. And again, do not misunderstand it. That is for the creatures. That is for us to be refreshed in that way. But the Lord is neither weary, no. But it is that delight, that is that joy that he had in his creation. He was refreshed. And then this longest of all the Ten Commandments begin with that word, remember the Sabbath day. And what does that now mean, congregation, to remember the Sabbath day? Well, of course, that means we may not forget it. We may not neglect it. We may not skip it. No. It is that, even as Malachi said, that ye must remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I have given unto him in Mount Horeb, and that is for all Israel unto a statute and a judgment. To remember, that means we must keep it in mind. We must uphold that commandment, and we must do that commandment. And if we are now to remember that Sabbath day, it points out how serious it is, how solemn it is, how much of a privilege it is that we receive a Sabbath day. It is of the whole week the most important day. And why? It is the Lord's day. In a sense, of course, all the days are the Lord's, because the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. But in a special way, The 6 days are given for us to labor. But that first day of the week, the Lord says, that is now my day. And then the Lord instructs us what we must do, and also what we may expect on that day. Remember the Sabbath day. That means also we must prepare for that Sabbath day. We should not be slaving until late in the Saturday evening. We must on time try to stop our labors. And congregation, we live in a society and in a time in history that this is more and more difficult. But how needful then that that commandment reminds us to remember the Sabbath day. We read in Luke 23 about the women who were watching when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea buried the body of Jesus. And then it says, they rested because it was the preparation for the Sabbath day. And on that Sabbath day they rested, but there was a foresabbath. There was a preparing for that Sabbath day. Oh, is that still our practice? Is it still our desire to stop on time and to read or to hear something that might help us prepare for that Sabbath day? We must remember that Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, what have we just sung from Psalm 122? Is it not that my soul was glad to hear that welcome sound? That it was an exhortation, let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. Are there such people yet? Are there those that say on the Monday, oh, I wish that today or tomorrow would be the next Sabbath day? Or would we rather work for 6 days and then say, well, then the Sabbath day will come? That's true. But there is a people who has hunger and who has thirst, who has a desire to be in the midst of God's people. And they wish to hear what the Lord has to say through his Spirit unto the churches. And they are so glad with the opportunity that they may go up to God's house. Oh, then it is so true that the Lord has given unto his people those living outgoings unto him. And then they say that they would gladly and diligently go up to God's house. And then they say unto others, come join with me and bless him all our days. Then it is a desire to come into God's house and to see God's countenance, because they desire to be present where that word of God is spoken. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yes, what does that now mean? To keep holy means to set apart. That it is, as it were, a special day. It is a special day. It is a holy day. Oh, that is now the day to seek him. It is given by the Lord that we may worship him, that we may call upon his name, and that we may bring our praises and our prayers unto him. Oh, that is a blessing that the Lord has given that day. Because is it not meant for a spiritual blessing that our soul may be saved? That the spiritually hunger may receive food and drink. That the church, the living church, may be edified. That they may receive that faith. That I receive instruction in that way of godliness. It is a privilege also for our body. Is it not a privilege indeed that there is one day in seven that we say so often, now I may not work. And we should really say, now I may rest. And that we need not be busy what our fathers used to call those slavish labors. Because we are so attached to them. We are of the earth, so earthy. And now the Lord says also for your body and mind, it is a blessing that you may rest, that you may leave all these labors to the side. Oh, then in the Old Testament time, we mentioned it was the practice of the Jews to sing Psalm 92. And is it then not a same practice that is good for the New Testament, for the New Testament church? And what else should we then do? We should pray unto the Lord. And we should also ask that he will give us an hearing ear, that we bow before him, and that we should pray unto him. Oh, in the chapter that we read, it is to seek that Sabbath day to make it a delight. That we do not look up against the Sabbath day and say, that is dreary and I cannot do this and I cannot do that. If the Lord gives true hunger and thirst, if the Lord gives spiritual life in our souls, oh, then the day is not long enough to seek his countenance. And how must we now do that, congregation? And we read through that entire Lord's Day, did we not? Did we not observe? The Lord does not give us a long list what we may not do. That can so often become a legalistic way. No. The commandments of the Lord are spiritual. And so it is written by the instructor what we may do and what we should do. It is for a spiritual keeping of that day. And then there are 6 days to work. And there is one day to seek the Lord. And in that one day we may not work. And of course, there are exceptions. Because the service of the Lord, that should occupy us. Oh, what did the Levites and the priests have to do on the Sabbath day? They still had to sacrifice. You say that was labor. What do God's servants have to do? They have to preach. You say, in a sense, that is labor, yes. But that is now labor connected with the service of the Lord. But is that not also for you, congregation? Whatever you can do to edify your soul, whatever you can do to instruct your family, whatever you can do to sing together, or perhaps to pray together, or to read something, those are not only works that we may do, those are works that we should do. Are there not works of love and mercy towards our neighbors and towards the beasts? Must not the sick be cared for? Yes. And must we not take care of the animals? Yes. Are there not works of necessity? When the war breaks out, must we then say, well, we will wait till Monday before you fight back? No, you cannot do that. If there is an accident in 1953, that flood in the Netherlands, that was on the Sabbath day. And then on that Sabbath day, there was much work to be done to rescue the people. That is not breaking the Sabbath day. Then you are seeking the welfare of your neighbor. And that is in harmony with the whole law of God. There are works that should not be postponed. When the Lord Jesus said unto that man in John 5, that was sick, and then he could walk again, the Lord says, take thy bed and walk. Now, then he had to carry that. And of course, the Pharisees said that was sin because he was breaking the commandment. But this was a commandment that the Lord said, now take that bed home. That is how it ought to be. But of course, we should not do our daily work. No. Because a farmer must not seed and plow. A farmer must not do his harvest. And a carpenter should not be busy with his carpentry work. And a student should not be busy with his studies. No. We should not be buying and selling. For Nehemiah said that very clearly to those people that came to Jerusalem. And he closed the gates even unto them. And there they stood on the outside in that hot weather with the fish that they had bought from the fishermen. And Nehemiah warned them that they should not come back, and otherwise he would chase them away. But now, especially in the household also, not only in God's house, that we come to pray and to praise and to hearken to God's word. Should we not do that also with our family? Most surely, those are works that we ought to do. But then, we also read that in those commandments, what we must do, because it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and then how? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For, and now comes an incentive, a stirring up. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Lord himself gave the example that 6 days are for labor and 1 day is for rest. And he blessed that Sabbath day. It was the day that he hallowed, that he made it a sacred day. And then what follows? Now we have had the commandment. What is now that holy labor? And what is now that holy rest on the Sabbath day? And then we go again. What does God require in the fourth commandment? It says first that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And then immediately it becomes evident that the Lord's commandments are spiritual, that they are exceeding broad. Because what is now the first and the chief part of that commandment? The Lord says the ministry. And to that end, as an assistance, also the schools should be maintained. And the reason is in Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they hear except there be a preaching? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So it is evident that this is of the chief importance, that now the word of God is declared in the congregation, and that we ask it may also be applied unto our hearts. And congregation, we mentioned the schools must be maintained. Do you know for whom the schools must be maintained? That is, in the first place, for everyone, small and great, because it is so necessary and useful to learn how to read and how to listen. We have to learn how to read and how to listen. Because what does the devil desire? To keep us ignorant. Because the more ignorant we are, the more easily we are deceived. And that is not what our fathers have said. No, they said, let there be schools. And that begins already with the schools for the smallest children. That is true. And then when it goes further, it is also those schools that especially will instruct those who shall be sent out for the ministry. But do you know what Reverend Kirsten remarked one time? Let there never be lacking Christian school teachers. And he mentioned especially the men, the young men that would be teaching the children at school. Congregation, do we not know of the need of these things? And we will not enlarge upon it. But is it our prayer? But are there no young men that see that or that lay it before the Lord, if this might be the way that the Lord will show them what they may do profitably also unto others? But then that ministry congregation, oh, they also should be instructed. Must they not be called? Oh, yes. We must never take such an honor upon ourselves. But we must be called by God as was Aaron. But what is now the way that the Lord shows? In the Old Testament were schools for the prophets. And the Lord Jesus instructed his own disciples for more than 3 years. So it is a holy, it is a high, and it is a very serious calling. But it is also the best work. You have heard us say that more than once, because then you have the best master and the most faithful master congregation. But what a solemn, what an impossible work it is by nature. Because then I have to say unto the righteous that it is well with him. But likewise I have to say unto the wicked that it is woe with him. Oh, then the Lord Jesus calls, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Then the Lord Jesus has said, and now, preach the gospel unto every creature. Then he has said that there must be a work performed, rightly dividing the word of God. And to divide the word of God, what does that mean? There are two things. Because the sacrifices had to be divided and placed upon the altar, and the priest, the Levites, had to do that cutting, that rightly dividing. But also a father, when he would have the food, then he would cut a piece, rightly dividing it, a smaller piece for the smaller ones, and a larger piece for another one, and perhaps a special piece for one who is sickly. Now, rightly dividing that word of truth, oh, how impossible is that, except with the leading of the Holy Spirit congregation. Then it is, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all our sins. It is to say with John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. It is to be a friend of the bridegroom and being glad that that bride is brought unto the bridegroom. Oh, it is so impossible. And yet when the Lord gives it, then it is so easy, congregation. What was Philip? He was a deacon. And later on he became an evangelist. That was one of the New Testament ministers. And he was working in Samaria. And then when Simon the sorcerer had been exposed and shown to be a hypocrite, you say, now there comes rest in the congregation. And the Lord says unto Philip, go to that way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Go to the desert. But Philip was a servant and he obeyed. And there he went and he saw a chariot. And on that chariot there was an Ethiopian, and he was reading out loud, go join thyself to that chariot. And he heard that this Ethiopian was reading out loud in a scroll of Isaiah. And the Lord said, go and join. And so he went to that chariot. Understandest thou what thou readest? Oh, and that simple question drew out of the heart of this man an answer that was surprising. How can I accept someone would interpret? You see what he desired? A servant of God. An interpreter who would explain the word of God so that he might know it in his own heart and soul. And then he explained what he was reading from Isaiah 53. And is the prophet now speaking about himself or about another? And Philip joins the chariot and he sits on that chariot. And as the chariot is rolling on, then Philip is preaching. And he preached unto him, it says Jesus. In that one word, that whole sermon was concentrated. He preached unto him, Jesus. Ah, congregation, and that is a blessed work. That is a delightful work. And I said it already. It is impossible for man to do that time and again. But then the Lord will teach dependence and show his faithfulness time and again. Oh, should we then not, as part of this commandment, pray that the Lord will instruct and help his servants? Should we not pray that the Lord will convert men, young men, perhaps even boys that are here, and then call them in due time also unto that ministry? For when the Lord calls, oh, it may take some time, because there is so much to learn and the Lord has so much to instruct. But then there shall come a time that the Lord shall thrust out, that he shall send forth, and then there is no stopping anymore. And then it is received by those who must judge, and then the anointing will be there. Then that giving of that grace of the Holy Spirit to preach Jesus unto lost and unto undone sinners. Oh, congregation, then we see that the ministry of the gospel and the schools must be maintained. And then the instructor continues. He says, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. Notice that word, I. Does this commandment affect us, every one of us? And here it is a true Christian who is speaking, we know. But does it not tell us that we need, that we all need this? That we must diligently frequent the church of God. These are the means of grace. We receive that word. We receive the time of grace. We receive a house, God's house, in which that grace is also declared. Oh, then it is a wonder, congregation, that I have no excuses, that I do not try to neglect, that I can stay home every once in a while. No, but then that I will gladly come, that I will diligently frequent the church of God. Does not the apostle say it in Hebrews 10? Not forsaking the assembling of the saints together, as the manner of some is. That was in those days. Has it gotten any better, congregation? In Zechariah 8, we hear someone saying, let us go speedily up to God's house and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts, and I also will go with thee. I also will go with thee. Oh, are there now those that come to God's house in that fashion? A number of years ago, I spoke to a minister, a godly minister, not from our denomination, that is not necessary. And he spoke about how that the Lord converted him. His parents went to church during the week several times, and in Holland that is easy. And they did so. And one time he was about 12, 13 years old, and he said to his mother, are you going again to church? She says, yes, and tonight you are going along. And he had no desire, but he had no choice. And that was now precisely the time. that the Lord came in his heart and stopped him. And then his ear was nailed to the doorpost, so to speak. Then he could not leave that truth. Then he did not have to be told, now you go to church, no. Then it was a desire to go and to hear how that his poor soul could be converted. Oh, we have sung it from 122, have we not? Then there is that desire to go to God's house and to bow before him there. And then we do it diligently. Then we do it with desire. Then we do it with humility. Then we do it in dependence upon the Lord. Oh, then you try to bow your knees, young and old, before you go to church. And even when you are in church, then there are times that you shall ask the Lord for a blessing. I still remember an old woman in the place where I was born. She was a tender child of God, and she would speak to the children on the street and give them some candies as long. But first she would warn them and tell them about the Lord's service. A minister came to preach, and there was, there was not a spirit with it. And there were reasons for that. And he acknowledged that later on. And then all of a sudden it began to change. And he noticed it himself, and he became so guilty under it. And humbled that the Lord would still come back, and he mentioned in the consistory. And my father met that old woman the next day. And he said, how is it? Oh, she said, I was listening. And I said in my heart, Lord, it does not go with thy servant. Wilt thou bring him into it? And that was her petition. And the Lord answered that request. Oh, how needful it is then for God's servants, for they cannot do it of their own. They must receive the help of the Spirit, that we may ask for a blessing, but also that the Lord would give that preaching congregation. Oh, then it is begging the Lord for a praying heart, that you may be an Aaron and that you may be a Hur also in the midst of the congregation. What do we read? That we diligently frequent the church of God and to use the sacraments publicly to call upon the Lord and to contribute to the relief of the poor. Yes, that we come to hear that word. There is no question about it, because that shall have to be necessary. We read when Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch of Pisidia, there was a Sabbath day and there was opening to preach. And the next Sabbath day, nearly the entire city came together for to hear the word of God. In the days of the Reformation, there was such a hunger that there was field preaching out in the fields. And they stood upon a wagon, and there were simple ministers, but ministers of God. And they preached 5-6 hours at a stretch. For there was such a hunger and such a thirst for that word of God. Oh, there were times that they came sailing and rowing in boats across the rivers and over the lakes. And meanwhile, they were singing the Psalms of David. Oh, congregation, is that not what we mean here? To hear his word. That it is thus saith the Lord, not what man has to bring forth, no. And then to use the sacraments, yes. In Troas, the disciples came together to break bread on the Sabbath day. And the Apostle Paul came there. And he started to preach. And then it was midnight, and then Eutychus fell out of the window. And Eutychus was raised up to life, and then they broke bread in the middle of the night. And the Apostle Paul continued to preach unto the break of day. Oh, those are unusual times, that is true. But congregation, when the Lord has an unusual need in the heart of his people, then he will also supply that unusual grace. Because with him there is abundance, and with that anointing oil, oh, then everything becomes possible. Oh, then there are the words and the sacraments, because they are together. And then there is a people that desires to make use of them. You say, but if I am old, I have no children to baptize. No, but you see it and you hear it. And it is a visible preaching of the gospel so that God's children who see that baptism can also and are also strengthened by that baptism, because Jehovah's truth will stand forever and his covenant bonds he will not sever. Then the Lord shows thereby that it is hopeful for the church that the Lord will work in the later generations as well. Then the using of the sacraments to come back to that Lord's Supper, oh yes, from time to time. And if there is now a people that has received a place at that table, should they not be coming then to that table? But objections, that can be. But that those objections then might be removed, that the riddles might be solved, that the troubles may be resolved also, and that the Lord will give a free opening, that he will do it by a renewal. And then to call upon the name of the Lord, that is now publicly, as it began in the days of Enos, that is a name to describe that God's people came together. And then there is a calling upon the name of the Lord. And then there is a giving thanks of the name of the Lord. All that is also necessary to give praise unto God in the midst of the congregation. And here it says to contribute to the relief of the poor. You understand now why that the deacons also have a bag for the poor. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. And in 1 Corinthians 16, the apostle says that on every Sabbath day, on the first day of the week it is there, he says, let everyone lay aside something according as he has ability, that the Lord has provided, that there be no collections when I shall come. So he says, every Sabbath day, collect for the poor, and that money can be saved up, and then when it is needed, then it should be spent. Oh, congregation, then it is what the Lord says. Hear the word, use the sacraments, publicly call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Yes. That becoming a Christian, that does not only mean that we contribute to the relief of the poor, but that is for all four of these things. Oh, yes. As becometh a Christian. And now go back to the first part. What is that? And that I, especially on the Sabbath day, and then it continues. And that is a true Christian, because as becomes a Christian, are you now? Am I now a true Christian? That means, am I now partaker of his anointing? Is that Spirit of Christ also given unto me? Or do I believe in him? Do I trust my salvation into his hands? Is it now that I am for his account as becoming a Christian congregation? Oh, then it is that you are not a stranger of these things we have spoken about in this evening. Congregation, that is the first part of what that Sabbath commandment requires. There is a holy labor in the first place, but there is also a holy rest, and that we speak about later. Let us sing 268.